But I do ask, please pray for me as we continue through this and as I continue to try to study. And got service tonight. Come back and join us tonight at 7:30. And we'll have a good time. I try not to be long. We try to do it all within an hour. Try to keep every service within an hour to be respectful. I know especially these wooden pews get a little hard after a while. And so I try to keep everything within an hour. Sometimes we go a little over an hour and 15 minutes. But I do try to be mindful and understanding and understand how things come up. But I also want you to understand that I'm not a sitcom, so sometimes I'm not going to be 30 minutes. Sometimes I may be an hour. And, you know, just know that I tell you, when I finally get 100%, I'm going to preach for 2 hours. And I'm going to have you here. I'm not going to warn you when it is. So don't be skipping out on me so that you think you miss out on it. I'm just picking now. Come on. Good heart. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine now. Come on. I'm trying to be merry and trying to be have a little bit of sense of humor to laugh through this. I do feel better, but Book of John, chapter number 6. Let me flip back over. We're going to read. We went through a little bit of this last week, so we're going to cover a little bit of it again, but for sake of time, we'll try not to be too long. John chapter number 6, we're down at verse number 51 as we're continuing through the book of John. John chapter 6, verse number 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He said, therefore, said I unto you that no man could come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Father, I pray that you would take this message, the thoughts that you've given me. Help me, God, to give forth the bread of life, God, the word of God. Help me, God, to preach what you've told me, the words that you've given me, Lord. Help me, God, to do it this evening. God, help me this morning, God, now to preach, God. And I pray that most importantly, that your Spirit, God, the Comforter, Lord, that it'll reprove the world of sin, God, convict us and bring us to that place of salvation, would fall on this place, would fill this place, God, that people and sinners, God, would see their need, God, for salvation. I pray that you would help us now this morning. Help me, God, to preach. I need your touch on my throat, God. I'm ready to get over this mess, Lord, but if I continue to suffer, Lord, there's a reason for it. I just pray that you would get me through it in your time. God, I'm here to preach your word, Lord. I'm here, God, to do your will. I need your help this morning. In my weakness, God, be my strength. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this first part of these verses, we must understand that Jesus is not talking about literally becoming a cannibal and eating his body and his flesh. He's speaking spiritually, as he goes on to say. Unfortunately, many of them depart, even though he tells them, he said, I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's metaphorically because he's going to die for our sins. He's going to be crucified for our sins, and he's doing this so that we can have life and have a chance at life. And listen, you must believe and accept who he is and what he did for in order to be saved this morning. If you don't believe that he was the Son of God, listen, Muslims, they believe in Jesus as a prophet. The Mormons, they teach that Jesus was a prophet. And all these listen, they can't get around the fact that they know that a man named Jesus lived. There's no doubt about that. Though many people try to deny it, history tells us that it's beyond. Listen, do you know there's more evidence for Jesus Christ than there is for most of our major philosophers? There's more evidence for Jesus Christ than there is for men like Plato and Aristotle and all them. There's more evidence for him. But yet nobody doubts that those men existed. But many men have tried through the centuries to try to do everything they can to wipe out Jesus in the name of Jesus. They've done everything they can to try to wipe him away and his mark on history. But listen, I'm telling you this morning, there's no doubt that a man named Jesus lived. I don't care what anybody else tells you. There's historic recorded facts about Jesus. So this morning, not the question whether he lived or not. The question is, will you accept what he did or not? You must believe that he was God in order to be saved. You must believe that he died for your sins this morning in order to be saved. You must believe, listen, that's what he's talking about here. He shed his blood so that he can wash away your sins. He gave up his flesh. We've talked about this. The Bible says his penance was so marred more than any man. You can take it. Listen, I heard a man years ago, a preacher say it. He said, if you don't know what Jesus looked like, go to your refrigerator and pull you out a piece of hamburger meat. And that's what Jesus looked like. The flesh was torn away from him. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that his bones looked and stared upon him. You could see his bones because the flesh was torn away from him. He shed his blood every drop. He didn't spill his blood. He shed it just like in the Old Testament. Sacrifices. They shed the blood for sin. God himself shed his precious blood, God's blood, every drop of it. That's why when they pierced him inside, forth came out blood and water, signifying that every bit of his blood had been shed for our sins. He did that for you and I. He loved us enough that he was spit upon. I don't know about you, man, but have you ever tried to just grab a head? Listen, my little 2-year-old, I will go grab a hold of my beard and just pull on that. That hurts. And then men grabbed his beard and they ripped the beard from his face. They didn't just take a little bit of thing and just pull out. Well, no, they grabbed handfuls. The Bible says they ripped the beard from his face. They put a crown of thorns and they took a reed and drove the thorns into his head. They beat him. They didn't just a little bit of blood. Listen, when they beat him, when they whooped him, when they lashed him, when they took that whip, that cat of nine tails is what history tells a lot of people. They say that cat of nine tails was a whip with nine different tails on it, and it would have sharp things in it. It would have pieces of pottery or screws or whatever they could find, sharp objects, and they would take that and they would beat a man, and every time that man would whip him around, it tore flesh away. He took all that for you and I. Listen, you got to believe who he is. You got to believe that he's God. Listen, the Mormons, they don't believe that he was God. They believe that he was a created being. Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers, created beings. The devil is not Jesus' brother. Jesus was God in the flesh. He said it himself. I believe it because the Bible teaches it. Muslims believe that he was a good prophet, but they don't believe he was the Son of God. You have to believe he was the Son of God, that he was perfect, because that's the only thing that could take away our sins. You have to believe what he did. Listen, he fully did it. When he said it is finished, that's it. There was nothing else to be added to it. We've talked about this. That's the difference between real religion or real salvation in Jesus Christ is believing that full salvation is of him and not plus nothing and minus nothing. It's fully on Jesus. That's what separates us from most other denominations and religions. They'll teach you, well, listen, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus, but then you've got to be baptized, or you've got to do this, or you've got to be married in this church, or they'll tell you all these different things. But that's not salvation. That's works. Salvation is believing fully in the finished work of Jesus Christ and him dying for your sins. That's what real salvation is. Plus nothing or minus nothing. I love this verse right here. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament here, other than my life verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 14. Here's what Solomon said. The wisest man upon the earth to ever live outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That's one of my favorite verses there in the Old Testament. Because it talks about Solomon. I believe that's Solomon. God's given Solomon that insight. I believe Solomon trusted and knew what was going to happen, and that Christ was going to come through his lineage, because God had already told David that Christ would come through his lineage. And he says here, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Listen, you must believe and accept that he was God. He was God in the flesh, and that he died and was buried and rose again for your sins. These people couldn't understand it. The Jews, verse 52, the Jews strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And he's talking metaphorically, he's talking spiritually. He gave himself for our sins. He died on that cross. Listen, the Bible says he freely laid down his life for our sins. They didn't have to hold him down. When they nailed him to the cross, he was like none other man. Every other man, they're getting ready to drive a stake through their hand. They'd be fighting and kicking and screaming and whatever thing else they could do. But the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 53, so as a lamb before her shears, so opened he not his mouth. He laid down his life. He didn't say a word. He laid down his hand. Let them drive the stake through that hand, the nail through that hand. He laid down the other arm. Nah, so opened he not his mouth, because he thought about you and I. The Bible says he could have called angels to bring him down off that cross. He absolutely could. At any time. He was always God. At any time he could have called them. But he thought about you and I. He thought about a day and time in 2019 when a man of God be up preaching about salvation and preaching about how Jesus died, even for the little kids. Listen, we always try to put it down so it's the lowest one on the totem pole. Some little kid, listen, always say put the cookies on the lowest shelf so the kids can reach them. That's what we want. We want so that even if a 6-year-old, God, listen, I believe God can deal with somebody from 6 to 96 and plus. When somebody comes to the realization that they're a sinner, when they're in need for salvation, when they're in need, when they realize that they have not sinned against me, but they've sinned against God, and they need to get that under the blood, that's when somebody can be saved. These people didn't realize it. They were, them Jews, they didn't want to acknowledge that they were lost. They didn't want to acknowledge that they needed a Savior. He said, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He is that bread of life. And you must believe fully in what He is and who He was. Next, you must accept who His word, must believe and accept His word. Verse 59, it says, these things said He in the synagogue as He taught Capernaum, and many of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? There was many times that Jesus taught something that was hard to be believed, hard to understand. And what happened? Like a lot of people even here, when they get up, man, God gets, listen, I tell people all the time, I can make mistakes, I understand that, but I'm preaching right out of the Bible. If I'm preaching something that's not Bible, by all means, I want you to come talk to me. If I'm preaching something that you don't think and don't agree is Bible and don't think it's Bible, I'm willing to come talk to you. I'm willing to help you and get you to understand. I know I can possibly make mistakes, but if you think I'm making a mistake and I'm not preaching something that's Bible, come talk to me. Because listen, the Bible says many people laughed after this point because they didn't like what they heard. And that's the problem we run into. A lot of people, well, he's too loud. I know I'm loud and I know I move around. And that sometimes upsets some people. But like everybody that's been in here for a while knows, I'm just excited about my Lord. Amen. If you come to my house and there's a Duke game on, I know I'm a Duke fan. It probably makes me all older. But man, you come to my house and I'm watching the game. Guess what's going to happen when they make a good play? I'm going to holler and shout. Amen. Well, 10 years from now, ain't nobody going to remember who won this or won that, except for those guys who are just obsessed with some of this stuff. But none of that stuff's going to matter. I was happy. I was pulling for the Nationals. I don't know how many of y'all was pulling for the Houston Astros, but I wanted to see the Nationals win a World Series. The Astros just won one 2 years ago. I wanted to see the Nationals, and I was excited. But you know what? 5 years from now, you ask me who won in 2019, unless I put it in my memory, I'm not going to remember. But I can tell you in November of 2000, I can take you to the exact spot on the altar there at Victory Baptist Church in Clemens, North Carolina, where I knelt and prayed and gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus. I can't tell you who won the Super Bowl that year. I can't tell you who won March Madness that year. I can't tell, unless I look it up, I just don't know. I can't tell you who won the World Series that year. But I can tell you that God changed a man's life, a young man's life, 18 years old. Right here on the altar, right beside the pulpit, God, because I finally believed His word. It is a hard saying. There's a lot of things that are hard in there to be believed. A lot of men, a lot of different men, a lot of different preachers tell you a lot of different things. I want to go right quickly through what the Lord and some other men. If you want to hold your place here, we're going to come back here eventually. But I'm going to go to several different places real quick. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. I want to look at some men. And I want you to see what's relevant in our day and time. Some men of God that preached. Well, here's what they say. Listen, if you think I'm loud, I'll tell you what. I bet John the Baptist, man, I bet he ruffled a lot of feathers. Here's a man coming out of the wilderness. These Jews keep telling them, they're all about the money. They're all about trying to keep people lost in religion. And John the Baptist, here's what he comes out. Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John told them to repent. Flip over to chapter 4. That's what John come out of the wilderness preaching in Matthew 3. What's the Lord come out of the wilderness preaching? Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17. Here's Jesus' first sermon. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 13. Luke 13. Again, nothing's changed. This is still the Lord here. Luke chapter 13. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Luke chapter 13 says, verse number 1, there were present at this season some that told him of the Galatians whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. You hear that? These are some that Pilate had killed and took their blood and mingled it with some sacrifices to a false god. Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galatians were sinners above all the Galatians because they suffered such things? This is the mentality of people. See, here's why people like Joel Osteen, because he preaches the health and wealth gospel. If you're living right, then you're going to be blessed and you're going to be... Listen, I must be living way wrong according to Joel Osteen, because I've been sick for 5 weeks. That's what they were preaching and saying in that time. And that the Jews and maybe his disciples, whomever, was saying, oh man, Jesus, do you realize how bad sinners they were? They were so bad sinners that Pilate killed them and mingled their blood. Here's what he said, you suppose that they're sinners above all the Galatians because they suffered such things? Don't think because somebody's going through something it's necessarily sin. Now some people it is. But some people it ain't. Some people, God has them going through it. Listen, you may be going through something right now and saved, but God's having you go through it so that you can be an example to others. He said in verse number 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You'll all die the same. Verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I'm telling you, it's easy for all of us to do that same thing. We look at something bad on television. We think, man, God took them out of here. And sometimes that may be true, but listen, he's not saying that that's necessarily it. He's saying, listen, he said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's in their mentality. That's in everybody's mentality. We think some wicked man goes out of this world in a cruel way, and we think, he got what he deserved. Jesus said nay. He said, but except you repent, you'll likewise perish too. He said, just remember one thing. They may die, and somebody you may not like or somebody that's some wicked sinner may die, but unless you repent, you'll die and go to the same place that they went. He said, nay, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Turn with me now to Acts, the book of Acts. I want you to see the message is not changed. The message has not changed. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. This is the day of Pentecost. Peter's up there preaching to them. Acts chapter 2. Skip down to verse number 37. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, Peter's message didn't change either. Turn with me to chapter 17. Acts 17. Acts 17. I want you to see the message has not changed. I know it's not popular. Matter of fact, unfortunately, there's a lot of independent Baptists that don't like the word repent because they claim it's a work salvation. But I'm going to tell you what, it was good enough for John the Baptist. It was the right message that Jesus preached. It was the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. It's the message that Paul preached right here in Acts 17 in verse number 30. He said, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. One more place. There's a couple others, but I'm just only going to go through one more. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does the word repent mean? To repent means to sorrow or be pained for sin as a violation of God's holy law. Repentance is a work of the Holy Ghost of God. It comes into your heart, and it tells you that you've been a sinner, and it tells you that you need to get right with God, and you need to repent. You need to turn from whatever it is. Listen, whether it's sin, whether it's religion, whatever it is that's keeping you out of God's love, out of true salvation, that's what it is to repent. It's to turn from whatever it is to sorrow or being pained for sin as a violation of God's holy law. That's what repent is. That day on that altar, man, I can remember. I knew that I was a sinner on my road to hell because of my sin. And the Spirit of God had told me that you're a sinner on the way to hell. And God was making me feel pain like I never felt before. Man, for weeks, I've been under conviction for a while. There were times I'd go to sleep at night thinking I'm going to die and go to hell. There were times that I'd be thinking God's raking me over the coals of hell. I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm just praying, Lord, let me wake up in the morning. All because I tried to hold on to something that never did a thing for me. Now listen, I'm not trying to get you to doubt. I'm not trying to get you to listen, if you've really been saved, I'm not trying to get you to make some new profession. I'm trying to work on those that are just like Judas here. Turn with me to John, back to John chapter number 6. We're going to preach this end right here and then we're going to be done. John chapter number 6. Here's the problem we have in our day and time. John 6, verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man could come unto me except were given unto him of my Father. And what happens? Many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus to the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are believing sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I want you to know right now, John put that in there, but John didn't know. John wrote this after Jesus' death and later on in life. John wrote this gospel, but John had no idea that it was Judas Iscariot. Turn with me to John chapter 13 real quick. I want to show you a couple things, and I'm going to give you some points on this, and then we'll go to the house. I got to hurry up real quick. John chapter 13, verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you should betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John the Beloved, sorry, the writer of this. This is John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then he, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Do you see that? Judas made his bed, made his decision. Jesus called him to preach. Jesus called him to salvation, though he never got saved. Satan does not enter in until right now. Judas, a lot of people will teach that Judas was predestined for hell, or because he was causing the son of perdition, that meant that he was predestined for hell. No, it wasn't until Judas made up his mind. It wasn't until Judas had fully, finally rejected Jesus Christ that Satan entered in. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And when he had received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Did you see that? Turn with me real quick back to Mark 14. I want to read this account too. Mark gives a little bit different account. Just a little bit different because of what they say. Mark chapter number 14. Mark 14, skip down to verse number 18. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. Then they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Can you imagine it? This is Judas. They spent 3.5 years with him. And he was as fake as he could get it, as they could be. No, not one time did they ever suspect Judas. Matter of fact, Mark counts, they said, is it I, Lord? That's how much they thought of themselves and how they thought they knew their flesh. Peter, makes the mistake and says, I never do that, Lord. I never. And then he ends up doubting the Lord 3 times or denying the Lord 3 times. Judas had every one of those 11 fooled. But he didn't have the Lord fooled. Listen, this morning, you can have me fooled. You can have your whole family fooled. You can be just like Judas on the road to hell. You can be as fake as these flowers right here. As fake as them flowers. Look, them things are pretty, ain't they? They say pretty. They look nice, and they're nice and pretty, but they're just as fake as they can be. There's no real roots to them. It's glued in. Glued in. There's no roots to them. There's no life to it. That's the way you are. You got everybody fooled. You think I'm good to go. Everybody thinks I'm saved. You're just like this plant. There's no real life there. You may be pretty on the outside, just like Judas. Just like Judas. Nobody suspected him. Kind of makes me wonder, maybe he was the first one to want to go to prayer meeting. First one that the Lord called up, got ready to preach, to pull a chair up to listen. But he's as dead on the inside as I can. There's no doubt in my mind that God gave Judas opportunity to be saved. There's no doubt in my mind that God called him to preach. He said, have not chosen you 12? He chose them to preach.
He called him out to preach. He had the call of God on his life. And matter of fact, in the book of Luke, it tells us that they went out and cast out devils and stuff. God gave them power. 3.5 years, those men were with Judas day and night. Nobody suspected a thing. But the Lord knew. You can have everybody else in this life fooled. You can have me fooled. You can have your kids fooled. You can have your wife, your husband fooled. But you won't fool the Lord Jesus Christ.
You won't fool Him. He won't make a mistake letting you into heaven. If you've never really repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in what He did on Calvary, you're just as dead as Judas. Y'all have heard me say this before. How close did Judas get to heaven? Judas kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. Jesus said, I am the door. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus had been there praying, His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Judas came up and kissed the door, the bloody door, the road to heaven, and died and went to hell. That's how close you can get to heaven. You can kiss the door, but if you don't walk through it, if you don't believe Jesus Christ and repentance when God's dealing with you and your sin, you'll be just like Judas. You'll die and go to hell. You can have everybody else fooled, but you won't fool God. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. And God, I'm saddened to think, God, the man spent 3 years night and day with You. Died and went to hell. God, even people in here right now that are still holding on to something that never changed their life. God, some that have never done anything, never put their faith and trust in You. God, they can have me fooled, but they can't fool You. I pray this morning they'd lay their religion aside, they'd lay their pride aside, they'd come to this altar, and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the finished work on Calvary. They'd trust Your word, God. They'd repent of their sins, God. And they put their faith and trust fully in Jesus and who He was and who He is. Help us this morning, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. The altar's open.